Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today has built his life around the things he loves, building things, music, and entrepreneurship. He's a label owner, artist manager, writer, consultant, and an entrepreneur. He is the co-founder of Heroic Recordings, a record label and full-service agency. He has also launched Villain Recordings for the releases of darker and heavier sounds and provides a platform for up-and-comers on Heroic Hearts. My guest also writes about music marketing and digital media and is the author of the SoundCloud Bible. His latest project, the Music Marketing Academy, an online video school about music marketing, is a follow-up to the SoundCloud Bible. Now, let's hack. Booty Vogt. All right, I've got a scenario for you. What would happen to your business if the very next business book you read, or the course you took, or the marketing strategy that you learned on a podcast or on a blog, what if that was executed on? And not just executed on when you have time to get to it, but taken action on day after day. Now, to be clear, I don't want you personally doing this work. I'm urging you, as I have done in the past, I'm urging you to start thinking like the CEO of your business, no matter what the size of your company is at the moment. And as the CEO, I want you to think globally. Let your mind carry you across the ocean to the Philippines. This is where you can hire a virtual assistant who is talented, honest, reliable, and capable of doing thought work for $300 to $800 for full-time work. Anything your business needs to grow can be outsourced. Programmers, graphic designers, social media experts, writers, SEO experts, you name it. You need help with your business, and there are people looking for work today. Start browsing over 250,000 resumes right now, if for nothing else than just to see what's possible for your business. Go to onlinejobs.ph/hack. It's the world's largest and safest marketplace for finding rockstar workers. Once again, that's onlinejobs.ph/hack. Welcome back to another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have another very, 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 very special guest from all the way across the pond, as they say. Booty, welcome to the show.
Hey, John. Happy to be here.
Oh, it's absolutely my pleasure. I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I think so too.
Excellent. Let's jump straight into it. Booty, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
We're starting deep. I like it. Okay, so I think it would be a very deliberate action. So I always know where we want to go for at least the coming 6 months or year, and we just grind away consistently at getting there. So 4.5 years ago when I started in the music industry and I began my studies, all I knew was, hey, I have these artists. I want to manage them. They're good, and I want to get at that. So I just put in the hours and the hours. And then as I started developing more context of the industry, my vision clarified, and I was able to continue doing that. And I think in the process, the vision became clearer. And because it's all been sort of in a straight line towards the same goal, we've now been really able to build something.
Nice. I love that. That's a question I was actually going to ask, because I love the deliberate action, knowing what you're doing 6 months to a year, kind of where you want to be, and I guess sort of work backwards and then figure out the steps. Mm-hmm. But things change, right? Technologies change, markets change, and probably your vision either grows exponentially as you're halfway there because you realize you can attain much more. But how do you sort of deal with that? What kind of feedback are you looking for to know if you're on the right path or if you need to sort of redirect?
You touch on a very good point. I think they always talk about, and there's a great Dutch entrepreneur. I remember we had a lecture from him back when I was still in university, and he explained how you're never able to see point C from point A. You first need to go to B and then you see C. So I think it's the first step of actually putting in the work, like executing, and that will allow you to clarify that vision. And I think for us, I think if your goals are based on principles, so for example, my principle and our team here is very much that we believe in empowering creators. That's the vision for our label, for our management agency, but also my personal motto. So I think throughout these years, every decision we've made has been based on that value. Like, hey, does it contribute to doing that? So that even at the beginning, I didn't know that we would be starting a record label. Initially, it was, hey, I'll manage these artists, try and do the best job I can. Then it was like, hey, we have more artists. Why not start an agency? Then it was, hey, we have this agency and we're getting these meetings with these publishers and these bigger labels. And they recognize the artists, but they won't sign the deal because the artists are not big enough. And then we realized, like, hey, we need leverage. So why not do that digitally? And so we start a label. So I think the principle was the fundament that allowed us to do that.
Yeah. So I love that principle of, or the idea of, can't see point C from point A. You have to get to point B to see where C is. Mm-hmm. That's such an eloquent way to say it. And it is how it works, but I've never thought of it in that way. I like that. So 4.5 years ago, you were in college still, university.
Mm-hmm.
And now you are doing a lot of things, co-founder of a label, you're the author of a book, and you have a training course for musicians. This is a lot of stuff, but there seems to be like this time in every entrepreneur's life, and I'm not sure when it happened for you, but I'd like to know, when they realize that they either have this calling to make this difference in the world, or they find they simply can't work for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So could you tell me when this happened for you and like which side of the fence you fall on?
Oh, absolutely. I think for me, I was blessed to have it was very easy for me to do high school, right? The tests came naturally. And I remember making that transition to university. And I enrolled in my first year of a course that was called, and this was a bachelor, called International Business Administration. And this was when I was still 18, so, and I think this would be the first year of college, right, in America. And I was doing that study, but I wasn't motivated to do it at all because I'd never really had to commit to doing anything. It was just like, okay, I'm done with high school. What do I do now? And I remember I spent that total year doing a lot of things, but not studying. And so judgment day came, and I was like, okay, you're not going to pass the year. And I needed to make a decision, and I was super lucky that the business school, the university, Erasmus, also had a totally similar course called Business Administration, which was exactly the same, but then not with a focus on international students, but on Dutch students. And I had to make that commitment of really think about what do I want to do with my life, right? Because I was going to commit to a bachelor, and then if I was going to do it this time, I was actually going to do it. And that's when I figured out, like, hey, I want to, at some point in the future, run my own business. I think that's complementary with my personality. So I committed to doing that studies. And at the same time, I went to the local Chamber of Commerce. And that's like our business center here in the Netherlands. And they had these workshops. And I remember you could commit a few hundred euros and then they would match that money. And then you could spend that money to go to a lecture about business law or a networking event. And I did that and I put in the money and I worked this side job, and putting in that money was my commitment to sort of get that experience and actually go. And I think from there, that's when the inception story of our business came around. And my best friends at the time, and they're still super close actually, they'd started producing music on Fruity Loops. You may have heard of it before.
Yes.
Yeah, so they downloaded this, of course, off the internet, started making some beats. And they put it on SoundCloud, which at the time was at its total inception. And having no following, they put this up. And 1-2 weeks in, this track has 10,000-20,000 plays. And I remember we were still sitting in my parents' place. That's where I still lived back then. And these 20,000 plays made them among the top 1-2% on the SoundCloud platform. And that's when it all came together. It was like, wow, this is amazing. We have an opportunity there. So for me, that was the opportunity to start doing something with business. And to make that study actionable, for them to actually commit to being artists. And that's how it really began. And I think I was just 19 then. Yeah.
Do you ever see a conflict with art and commerce?
Constantly. However, I feel that the best artists also have a very good understanding of the market, whereas some of the most abstract artists, right, which in a purist sense may be more appreciated by the other purist, don't.
That's a good way to look at it. I love it. And I love the interaction between art and commerce. I mean, places like SoundCloud, YouTube obviously have leveled playing fields where if you do it right, like you're doing it and teaching people how to do it, then you have the ability to turn it into a real viable business. It's no longer the starving artist. It's like full on worldwide exposure. It's amazing. And I come from music. I'm a drummer. So, I mean, I love it. And then like just seeing growing up, like through the 90s and stuff, like we didn't have this, like, and the technology just to make music and record music now that we never had before.
Mm-hmm.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. And I love the merging of art and commerce. I think it's absolutely necessary.
Absolutely. And also with digital, right, the internet, et cetera, because everyone can download a GarageBand or a Fruity Loops, the barrier of entry is so low and, you know, like rising tide lifts all boats. But at the same time, it means so there's a lot more good music and it also means there's a lot more bad music. But it does mean that just the share of the pie has grown and there's so much opportunity out there.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, this is being recorded in GarageBand. It comes with every Mac at this point, completely free. And Fruity Loops is not that, it's not even that expensive to get into. I mean, my daughter over the summer, we were in Vancouver for the summer and she actually took a week-long course on Fruity Loops.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like she created her own song at 10 years old. It was like, that's awesome. Like it's a really, it's amazing that it's, that technology is there and it needs to be utilized better.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then come to think of it, right? I think what's different now, and like I'm young, right? I'm 24, so I'm not really in a position to say this, but I can very much imagine how now having that freedom accessible at a super young age combined with the ease of distribution of the internet creates so many opportunities that you wouldn't have had 20, 30 years ago. For example, right, we represent an artist called World, and he's 17, but he already had an EP come out on a record label and hit number 9 on the iTunes charts. And he was already releasing with them and getting hundreds of thousands of plays before we were even involved. And he was, I think, 15, 16 at the time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love it. Okay, so you are very deliberate with your action. You can stay focused and then grind away on what you need to do. Every expert now talks about 80-20 rule, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do 20%, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at, delegate the rest. Booty, could you tell me something within your business that you are absolutely not good at?
Sure, absolutely. I think I am not so good at the minuscule details, and I am much better at the larger scale stuff, like strategy, for example. And I feel like in the music industry, and especially like label management, right, and artist management, you need to be super precise. But it's been hugely helpful for us to bring on Giannis, who's actually in the room with me here, who is our label manager. And he's doing an amazing job at the execution and the operations of the label, which in turn helps me to be able to focus on the big picture and grow the business and open up revenue streams. I think that's probably the biggest case. However, I could never escape having to do that anyway.
Exactly. And that's a great point. So label manager to run the minute details so you could focus big picture and strategy. Would you say looking back that it took you too long to admit that you were no good at those details and then hire somebody to fill that position?
100%. Yes. And I would say that is because of a lack of experience. Like at the beginning, right? And I think a lot of entrepreneurs and creatives can relate to this. It's just incredibly hard to let go because you haven't had the experience of people actually sharing that committed goal and helping you achieve it and taking work out of your hands and then autonomously doing an amazing job. Because you haven't had that experience, it's very hard to imagine that would be possible and for people to be able to do as good of a job as you would or 80% as good of a job as you would. And actually, this brings me to a memory. I was part of this entrepreneurship group in university. And I remember about a year and a half ago, we were having this dinner and we're talking about scale and growth. And I had a partner at the time and we were running the business with the two of us, but we hadn't had an intern. Whereas one of the guys who was in that group was operating a startup and he had 8 interns on it at all time, as opposed to 2 people on full staff. And everyone was like, okay, you got to hire an intern. You got to do it. And now we would never look back. Like, you need people.
You do, yeah. And what do you mean by you had a partner at the time? Does that mean you don't now?
I do now. And back in the day, like, I'm not talking a year and a half ago, before the record label, I actually had a partner in our agency who I then bought out. And then together with one of these 2 best friends who started making music, we launched Heroic.
Nice. Okay. So you've had different partners. You bought one out and then you moved on to Heroic with new partner.
Exactly. And that is going very strong.
What's the value of having a partner? You've done it in both those big projects. What's the value to you?
Mm-hmm. I would say that in a good partnership, and of course it depends on the person, right? But I would say in a good partnership, you need to have someone who balances you out. So one of the things in my first partnership, right? So I'll give you some context. So I had signed this first act, my best friend, and then I found more artists, and then I realized, like, hey, if I'm going to do this, I'll need to put it in an agency model. But what I was zealous, but not per se experienced. I didn't know what to be doing. And I got in touch with the tour manager of Sander Kleinenberg at the time, who was an amazing guy and also my elder. And he really helped me navigate the music industry, but also because that age gap was there, we had differing visions and our personalities were very similar. So I think the reason why that partnership didn't work out is exactly the reason why my current partnership with Tim, who is both my partner, but as a person, right, he's very detail-oriented, and he's our mixing and mastering engineer over at the label. And what that means is he makes all the releases sound incredibly good. And I think because we have that, we're contrasting in personalities, that's why our dynamic is so good.
Yeah, I think if you have 2 of the same people, there's almost no real point, right? But It's those complementary personalities.
Totally.
Excellent. Okay, let's move on to projects. Projects can be a very loose term, so you obviously have the record label now, probably different projects you guys do within that. You released a book, and now you've released a course. These are all big projects. I'm sure you have a lot of ideas because you're an entrepreneur who likes big picture and strategy. Probably ideas come through your inbox and through people you talk to and just from yourself. I would love to know right now, Booty, from you, what's the process, whether that's a written process or just like an internal process you go through, but how do you decide when a project is worth your time, energy, and resources?
Right. Awesome question. Okay. So I think first there's the inception part, right? I think I schedule time for the different aspects of the business to reflect on what it is that we should be doing, because you always have the operational trap. So instead of being working in the business, you should be working on the business. But unless you schedule time to do that, you never actually do that. For the SoundCloud Bible, there's a nice story I could share, and that is that just about 2.5-3 years ago, I think I read the 4-hour work week for the first time. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of people in this space are familiar. I take it you are as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was
a classic. It's a classic in our space.
Definitely. And I think what it did to me is that it really shed light on the importance of finding a niche and then delivering value, and that the essence of a business should be delivering value and then figuring out a way to monetize that. And I think it opened, like, it attuned my senses to that. And I started reading Tim Ferriss's blog and saw what he was doing. And at the same time, I discovered another author called Nathan Barry. And you may have heard of Nathan Barry, actually.
Definitely, definitely. ConvertKit he owns. I just moved over to it yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I hear a lot of great things about it.
Yes.
And he also wrote a book, Authority.
He did.
But first thing that happened, right, is so I read Timothy Ferriss and got into the internet marketing space. And what I noticed is, okay, so there's these people capturing these niches and they're sharing value and then they're doing e-products or another way to monetize upon it. And before I actually had a blog, I'd come up with the idea of the SoundCloud Bible simply because I thought about, okay, what's the one thing that's working for us that we know how to do that other people aren't doing? So therefore it's valuable, you know? And so that sprouted the idea of SoundCloud Bible. And I put up this long form landing page and I bought a domain. It was soundcloudguide.com. I hadn't even committed to the name of the actual book yet. And I wrote this super long copy, like 10, 15,000 words. And I put up this scrappy PayPal purchase link and I just let it run. And then I remember I was I was, I think, 2-3 weeks afterwards, I was on the beach with a girl I was dating at the time, and my phone rings and I look up and it's, I made a sale. Oh my God, it works. Yeah. So, and that validated the idea, right? And it wasn't like a big sample size test, but it was simply that I have this idea. I did no marketing. This should validate whether people are crazy enough to buy this, right? So that got me set on the road of doing this. And then I started working on that model, you know, like jab, 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 right hook. So give away content, right? Do something no one else is doing. And then sell the book.
You had written the book though when you sold it?
No, this was like just a scrappy landing page. But and then I got the sale and then I sent the guy an email saying like, hey, thanks for your purchase. I'm currently updating the book. You could have your money back or you could wait a few months.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. So many businesses start from that and that email on the beach that just, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, and I think from there, right, I got into that space more and more. I bought Nathan Barry's Authority, which I would totally recommend if you haven't done a product launch or you're looking to figure out like, how can you monetize a niche, the knowledge you have? And that's when I really saw the value of a list and building upon that. And the book is now in its second edition. So the second edition came out earlier this year. And now I've expanded into the course, you know, the launch strategy is expanded and et cetera. But the principle is the same.
And it's going well?
Definitely, I would say so.
Would you think that now with the success of that, that you will focus more even on getting like sort of the productization of your business and your ideas?
Well, for me, very much like the side project, right? Or my personal business, Booty Vocht, and sharing this knowledge and blogging and the book and the academy. It's very much in service to Heroic and the bigger picture, right?
Right.
Because with the record label and with the artist management, if we're able to grow that, and this is my vision, right? If I'm able to grow that into a self-sustaining organization with, at some point, its own leadership, its own people, right? And that managers are able to train interns and other label managers are able to train new label managers. I think that's the core focus now. And having launched the course has created so much financial freedom for me that I'm now able to double down on doing that.
I love it. I love it. All right, Booty, this has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on something I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap, which sometimes seems to be this place that as entrepreneurs, as dreamers, right, we're always looking forward and success. I'll always be successful in 3 months, in 6 months, in a year when I release that next book or when my course does this or when I release a number one or whatever it happens to be. And before we get there, we set bigger, loftier goals into the future, which I fully understand we have to do and we have to keep pushing forward. But sometimes we end up living in this gap space where we're never, ever successful. No matter where our businesses go, we always want more. So I would love right now, you've spent the last 4.5 years from college to growing a business and now with multiple products, you've had some successes, some highs and some lows. But I would love if you would stop right now, look back at your journey just till today and tell me how you feel about everything you've accomplished up till now.
How do you mean? How do I feel?
Are you happy with what you've learned, what you've accomplished, and what you've done till now? How does it make you feel? Besides just wanting, I know that you want to go forward and you want big things, but just look back at what you've done. Look back at what you've learned. Look back at what you've experienced. And what does it elicit for you from a response?
Right. Okay. I think if I look back at my younger self, I would say I was super naive. And this is even going back a few months, right? At the same time, I feel very empowered. Just the fact that we've been able to do this very much gives me confidence in the fact that we'd be able to grow this and provide a living for more people and really give these artists a chance to also make a living from what they're doing. And I guess I also feel very humbled to have the opportunity to do this because there could have been a lot of variables that wouldn't have allowed me to do it. And going to university, having parents who supported me, finding my partner, my team, having the success with, for example, Hassan Holo, who is such a talented artist, and he's been our breakthrough, right?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And I mean, as many variables as were there to take you to where you are, there was also as many, if not more, that could have obviously distracted you and got you other places. And to be 24 and have these accomplishments already under your belt with like, kind of the sky's the limit at this point. And that's awesome. So we've got to talk about your businesses like in passing, but could you specifically now tell the listener where to find out more about you and your business?
Absolutely. So you could check out our label over at heroicrecordings.com and my personal blog over at bootyvogue.com. And on there, there's a link to the book and the academy, but also a ton of free articles about music marketing and legal stuff. And I'm Booty Voogt on Twitter.
Excellent. That's BUDIVOOGT.com. I will link to that. I will link to Heroic Recordings, 4-Hour Work Week, the SoundCloud Bible, and the Music Marketing Academy. Oh, and Nathan Berry as well.
Totally. Yes.
All in the show notes. Yeah. All in the show notes for you, so they're easy for you to find. And thank you so much again for joining me. And just please keep doing what you're doing, man, because it really is awesome and inspiring to watch.
I appreciate it, John. This is a very interesting podcast to listen to, and I love your style of questioning, so I'm humbled to come on the show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. For as little as $350 a month, you can find virtual workers in the Philippines who are willing to take on even the most challenging tasks in your business. No matter where you look, you will not get this kind of value anywhere else. There's WordPress experts, virtual assistants, and brilliant writers. They're all waiting to join your company and to help you scale your business. Go to onlinejobs.ph/hack. It's the world's largest and safest marketplace for finding rockstar workers. Once again, that's onlinejobs.ph/hack. Booty, thank you so much for joining me today. That was a lot of fun. So you're out there listening, and I hope that you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. I am really happy that I got to talk to Booty because, I mean, as you know, I love that intersection of art and commerce. And I love somebody who has, like you might, and like have that passion of art or creativity or that artistic side and making a business, a completely 100% legitimate business out of it. I love that. Plus, it shows because oftentimes the creative people, the creative side doesn't have that natural or what we, not natural, but that general tendency that we seem to think of when we think of entrepreneurs. And I love how it brings it around to the fact that we can all become this if we want to, and if we do the work and put in the effort and are willing to be comfortable in uncomfortable situations and deal with it. It's cool. I really, really, really appreciate these conversations, and I hope that you enjoy them as much as I do. So I got to go back through this one, and I'm going through my notes here. I have 5 places where I went back and listened to the conversation to see if something was there that just like really stood out to me. And as I went back through it, there was this one thing that was just right there in front of me this whole time. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
At the beginning, right, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs and creatives can relate to this, it's just incredibly hard to let go because you haven't had the experience of people actually sharing that committed goal and helping you achieve it and taking work out of your hands and then autonomously doing an amazing job. Because you haven't had that experience, it's very hard to imagine that would be possible and for people to be able to do as good of a job as you would, or 80% as good of a job as you would.
And that's the hack. Yes, 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 Booty. I love this. I love this on so many different levels. So as entrepreneurs, as creatives, but as someone starting a business, always, from the now hundreds of conversations I've had with entrepreneurs on this show and outside of this show, it's this idea of starting with your idea and then scaling. To scale the idea or to grow this idea beyond yourself, you have to scale. And to scale, the only way to scale is to leverage software, to leverage the tools you can use online, and also to leverage the skills, the brains, and the effort of other people. But it's so hard for us to let go. It really, really is. It's not just you. It's not just Booty. It's me too. We all go through this, and it's a constant struggle. But I love how at the very, very, very end of that, Booty says, it's hard for us to even accept the fact that somebody could do an amazing job, as amazing as us. And then at the end, what does he say? He says, or at least 80%. That's key. That's it right there. It doesn't have to be. And it doesn't have to be the same. And you're right. You can probably do it better than the other person, at least right now, because you've been doing it all along, for one thing. But also, once you accept the fact that 80%, it's that whole 80-20 rule I talk about in every single episode, right? So 20%, 80% of the results, 80% of the results is typically enough. But what gets even better about this is that 80%, when you hire the right person for the right job or hire the right freelancer to take this part of your business out of your hands, once they figure it out, once they figure out how it works in your business, because you've hired them right and they have a better skill set in that skill anyways than you and that arena, they'll probably do it 100% better than you. They'll probably do it 200% better than you. And this is hard for us to even imagine that somebody could do something better than us in our own business, but it's absolutely true. And the only way to get there is to accept the fact that for a while it might only be 80%, but 80% is good enough. It really, really, really is. And that's going to allow you to scale and grow. And Booty, I thank you for pointing that out because it's a really, really important clarification to make. And I love it. And thank you so much. All right. That was fun. As always, hacktheentrepreneur.com. Please go there. Get on the email list. I'm giving away the 10 best hacks right now. And I have a book coming out in about a month. You're going to love it. I know you will. It's written specifically with you in mind. It almost killed me to write, but I wrote it. Just finished it. And I'm super proud of it. And I know you're going to love it. So hacktheentrepreneur.com. You'll get on the email list. I'll be telling about, you'll know about it soon. I'm actually going to be, in the next week or two, I'm going to be choosing the cover. I'm running a contest, going to be doing, finding out which cover I should use, and people on that email list are going to get to help me choose it. I would love to have you as part of that. That'd be fun. And it also, obviously, as always, when you're on that email list, hit reply to any email and you have direct access to me. Side bonus. Eh? Eh? Yeah. But I would love to have you as part of the creation of the new book. And I'd love to get one into your hands. It's going to be super cheap and fun, but I literally poured my heart and soul into it. And I really think it's going to help you a lot. And I think you're going to enjoy it a lot. And I'm really proud of it. So get on the list, hacktheentrepreneur.com. And you'll find out everything about it there. And yeah, let's have a conversation. It will be fun. That's it. As always, I thank you so much. I truly, truly do appreciate you stopping by. And please, until next time. Keep hacking the entrepreneur.